Amy Miller has directed the acclaimed films The Carbon Rush and Myths for Profit, which were screened throughout Canada and in Europe. In No Land, No Food, No Life, she takes on globalized agribusiness and the cataclysmic effects of land grabs by large-scale agricultural corporations. No Land, No Food, No Life was featured at the Montreal International Documentary Festival last November, and now it is coming to Cinema Excentris, starting this Friday, January 17th. And Amy Miller is on the line with us this morning. Hello, Amy.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So to begin with, I guess, what were some of the things that inspired you to make this film? Was it kind of a growing awareness of the problems with corporate agriculture, or were there any specific events maybe that impressed you?
Yeah, I mean, I've been told once that filmmakers essentially make the same film throughout their whole career. And so, I mean, I definitely have a tendency to be looking at unfettered capitalism and how it's playing out in terms of its impact towards people and the planet, and the resistance that social movements are taking towards that and how we're trying to transform societies. And so when I learned about land grabs, I mean, it plays very much in a similar situation with the carbon rush, where whether it be with a carbon market or whether it be through the guise that we need agribusiness to solve our food problems, I think it's really important when we look at land relationship to land and who's benefiting and for whose interest. And so I thought it was extremely important when I was learning about how we're seeing this phenomena of agricultural land that's been used by subsistence farmers for decades, millennia, and how it's now being transferred over to corporations or nation states for their interest and for their ability to profit and sell. I thought that was so important because it's happening at such an astronomical rate all over the world. And we could really see how the advent of it in its new form with the food crisis and with the economic crisis back in 2007, 2008, and how it started switching and being transferred, all of the land started being transferred, we could really see it. And I felt like I wasn't hearing anything in terms of the corporate media, and I wasn't seeing how this vital issue, that is the way our food is grown and how we can access it, I wasn't seeing it being discussed. So for me, it was very galvanizing, and I thought it was extremely important. So I wanted to make a documentary to talk about it.
I definitely think that it's a very important point that people really do want to know what's happening in the world. And this idea that the global culture today just doesn't care is completely false. So why do you think that we don't hear about land grabs?
Well, I think you're absolutely right that it has nothing to do with whether people care or not. I see it in droves. And I think that's exactly why we're seeing so much growing interest in documentaries, is people know that that's a means for them to get the information they're not getting perhaps in the corporate media or in our classrooms. And I think it brings more questions in terms of education for who, about what, to serve whose interests. I think we're seeing a decrease in critical analysis across the board, and in terms of people's access to be getting information about what's happening in the world. I think that comes to deeper questions about what does corporate media want people to consume in terms of their information and for what purpose. I think when people start getting a deeper understanding of how the world's working, that's moments where people can say, wait a minute, I understand how the world's working, and now I can work to transform it and change it, and we can build collective power. And I think that definitely doesn't serve the interests of those in power. And that's why they try to maintain just an infotainment system of information where it's constant reality TV and infotainment in general, whether it be massive sports events or entertainment events that are meaningless in terms of the day-to-day functioning of our lives and our systems and our communities, but very much serve the interests of the powerful to continue on where they manage to exploit the energy and resources of people all over the world for their interests. So, yeah, I think it comes down to maintaining these systems of power, and I think once people start learning and having those aha moments where they understand how things are happening around the world, then that's empowering, and that's certainly not in the interest of those in power.
I completely agree. So in your own battle against meaninglessness, I suppose, what were kind of the processes that you went through in making this film?
Sure. I mean, I get a lot of hope from the films I make. There's times that people will say, oh, I found it very depressing to learn that we're seeing, so much agricultural land be transferred from small-scale farmers to agro-business, and, people might have a sense of feeling doomed or, whereas I find a lot of inspiration and a lot of hope. And throughout the film, we see that wherever there is the land grabs, there is also the struggle to fight and transform society for one that's more just and equitable for all. So I find that, extremely inspiring and gives me a tremendous amount of hope. And we see within the film as well that there are massive international social movements that are coupling with the local struggles wherever the land grabs are happening. So, that's where I find a lot of hope. And every time I, screen the film, I'm very lucky to get the feedback where people say, I had no idea, I learned a lot from this film, and now I feel empowered to take action and get involved in the struggle to transform our agricultural systems. Yeah, that's where I find a lot of hope from the film. And you would ask me about the process. I mean, really, with a documentary like this, it's a lot of research, but it's also about linking up with communities on the ground. This was a documentary that could have been filmed essentially in one of any country in Africa, essentially. Land grabs are happening so rapidly and so extensively throughout the whole continent in Africa. Really, I could have chosen any country there, as well as, any dozen of countries throughout South America and Central America, as well as around Asia. This is such a global phenomena happening that in terms of where we could have shot it, it was more of a process of teasing out, because there are so many strong stories where there's such a sense of urgency because it's affecting so many people's lives, that it really came down to where did we have connections, where were the strongest links on the local level to be able to showcase the reality of land grabs, the strongest, so that audiences around the world would really be able to understand what's happening and how this process is happening.
So local farmers have been losing their land and losing their way of living. How do these large-scale factory productions work out for the agribusinesses?
Well, a lot of it is a matter of having a complete control of the supply chain. So from controlling the land where the food is grown all the way to the cultivation, to then the processing, and then to the packaging and selling and exporting of the food wherever it is around the world. And so it's a matter for investors and agribusiness to not just be, in control of the processing or the manufacturing and the exporting, but rather to also, control the whole supply chain from where the land is grown. And that came about essentially this new form of land grabs, because obviously land grabs have been happening since the advent of imperialism, imperialist conquest and colonialist conquest around the world. But we're seeing it in its newest forms, and that is when it's linked with the economic and food crisis, where we started seeing investors, speculators, as well as different countries around the world wanting to maintain their food security. And so they went and started purchasing arable land in countries abroad. So, it's essentially saying, well, wait a minute, there's some farmland where the value isn't viewed as very high because people have been living and working on that land forever, but whereas to be able to own it and control it for their own agribusiness, it raises the value considerably. And that's what it is. It's seeing its new commodification of our land, or a further commodification of our land, should I say.
Now, in the past, actually, you've had really good websites. Like, you've shown a lot of interest in involving people through these interactive websites. You had a game on your website for the Carbon Rush, and for No Land, No Food, No Life, you have a space up where people can submit their own 5-minute videos about land grabs. Why do you think it's important that people participate in this kind of dialogue?
Well, I mean, I think it's a way for people to learn more about the issue. And with a film like No Land, No Food, No Life, I definitely have people say, wow, this was such a huge aha moment where I really didn't know. I've learned so much and I want to keep on learning. And so I think it's extremely important to offer these tools and resources to people. And as you said, it's an interactive way where we're living with the internet and that's constantly transforming, but people want to have a sense of interaction. And certainly with a topic of like land grabs that's so limited that, as I mentioned earlier in the interview, really this is happening all over the world. And it's about breaking this idea that it's just happening in Mali or it's just happening in Cambodia or that these are a few isolated cases. And no, really showcasing and giving access and a space for people to share their testimonies and their stories wherever they may be, where there might be land grabs. And it's happening. You know, there's a lot of people who are putting up the videos and showcasing what's happening in their communities.
That seems like just about the best reaction you could expect from a documentary film.
Absolutely. And I think it's really important that people not just consume a documentary and say, wow, I learned about a big phenomena that's happening in the world, but then, you know, to kind of put the pieces together, have those aha moments, and then start taking action in their day-to-day lives. And I always say, you know, we need to support local farmers wherever we are. Farmers feed people. And it's not about just feeding the corporations or the profit, you know, margins of the investors. It's about feeding people. And so wherever we are, we can support local farmers. We can look to what the land laws are to make sure that we can have next generation of farmers. But we also need to engage in international struggle because it is a very unfair playing field. And farmers in the global south really need to have the solidarity and support of people world over to ensure that they can continue to grow food.
So given the success of this film, where are you looking next? What are your next projects like?
Well, there is definitely a theme throughout all of my films in terms of looking at capitalism, how it's affecting people, and how social movements are confronting capitalism and trying to transform society to a more equitable and just place. So that is definitely going to be a theme that continues. I find what we're seeing now in terms of the extreme extraction, whether it be through tar sands or whether it be through fracking, is very fascinating because we're really, you know, getting back to a place where using language like peak oil isn't so conspiracy theory or so, you know, so frightening to say anymore. It's becoming more of an understanding. And I think that's very interesting on how we're reacting to the climate crisis and the economic crisis that's coupled with our current realities. So I'm going to explore that further and how social movements are addressing it.
Amy, it's been really wonderful having you on the show this morning. We're almost out of time, but just before we leave, how can people find out more about land grabs?
Well, they can go onto the website, they can check out No Land, No Food, No Life, and of course I invite them to watch the film, but there's great organizations like Via Campesina and Grain who do excellent work around the issue. I would invite everyone to come to Exemplis to see the documentary. It's starting this Friday, and it'll be running for at least a week, and that run will be extended if people come out, support independent documentary, and get involved to stop land grabs.
Thank you so much for speaking with us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
I've been speaking with Amy Miller. She's the director of No Land, No Food, No Life, which takes on global agricultural corporations and includes field interviews with local farmers in Mali, Uganda, and Cambodia. No Land, No Food, No Life can be witnessed for yourself at the Cinema Excentris starting this Friday, January 17th, or you can check out the website nolandnofoodnolife.com.